the MGM Theater of the Air. Our star this week, Celeste Holm. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Vice President of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and celebrated author of many Broadway and Hollywood musical hits, Mr. Howard Dietz.
Thank you. A good many of us spend a good deal of time moping and hoping and cursing the luck. Down in Hotchkiss Falls, there's a young lady who is bored with all that. She's determined to take the bull by the horns, or the tiger by the tail, or whatever animal you take by what, when you decide to be master of your destiny. How's she going to do it?
I'm going to find me a millionaire father. I'm an orphan, so how do I know I never had one? I'm on the level. Is there some millionaire anywhere looking for a lost daughter? That's me, Peggy Evans.
Hold it a minute, Peggy. We'll take up your case in the next hour when we bring you the dramatization of that well-known MGM comedy, Slightly Dangerous, starring Celeste Holm. Slightly Dangerous is a merry piece about a most unusual feminine character. With the curtain up on Act One, we are in Hotchkiss Falls, where the employees of this branch of the coast-to-coast small change mart are convened for a morning ceremonial. The district supervisor is awarding a prize to Peggy Evans. Peggy is played by Celeste Holm.
And so, Miss Evans, as you are the first employee in the entire chain to arrive at work 1,000 consecutive mornings on time, I therefore present you with Merit Award Number 4, redeemable for $2.50 in merchandise.
Thank you, Mr. Snodgrass.
Yes. All right, now. To your stations, everybody. The store is now open for the day. Look sharp. I want a good impression when your new manager, Mr. Stewart, arrives.
As you noticed, Peggy wasn't at all enthused about her award, a fact which puzzles her fellow soda jerk, Mitzi, who wants to know.
You ain't excited, Peggy? Winning $2.50? You lucky stiff.
Lucky? Huh. I just stopped to think, Mitzi. It's funny. 1,000 mornings on time. In another 5 years, I'll get the $10 award.
So?
So I'll be 26.
Ah, what's the beef, honey? In 5 years, you're going to be 26 anyway. Is it bad if they give you $10 velvet? That's an insult.
No, it's wonderful, exciting, something to look forward to. I'll have such a nice set of memories. 3,000 mornings on time. Those will be something to tell the children about. Except if I have a child, it might make me late one morning.
Bound to. Besides, you ain't even married.
No, I'm not, and I'm not likely to be. Where would I meet a man?
Well, anywhere. Where'd I meet Hobart?
Don't tell me. Under a rock.
Oh, Hobart'll do till Johnny comes along.
Who's Johnny?
Nobody. Johnny's what I call him.
Call who?
Whoever he is. Bill, Joe, Charlie, George, Jimmy. I call him Johnny.
Well, what about him?
Look, honey, I know a lot of girls got the same kind of life you got, and they love it. Why? Because they got their Johnny.
And that makes everything wonderful.
That sure does. You just keep laughing at nothing all the time. That's the way it is when you meet up with Johnny.
Well, I don't know any Johnny, and I'm not likely to find one around here.
Well, as it turns out to be the new manager we're getting today.
Mitzi, I'm fed up with life.
Honey, relax. I've never seen you so worked up before.
I've never been on time 1,000 days straight before. Mitzi, the fates played a dirty trick on me.
Ah, be yourself, will you? Nobody's played any tricks on you.
Oh, yes, they did. When they were sitting around deciding who was going to be who, when they came to me, they said, Let's make this one nobody. Let's not even give her a family or any home or anything. Let's just give her one thing, a job, the dullest little job we can find.
Take it easy, honey. Your job's not as bad as all that. You meet a lot of people. You do a lot of interesting things. Like waiting on them.
Oh, stop it, Mitzi. I could do my job blindfolded.
No, you couldn't, honey. There's more to it than you think.
I couldn't? I certainly could. Absolutely blindfolded. Look, here comes our first customer of the morning. That man, see? Now watch me. I tie this napkin so. I'll tie it around my eyes. Like
oh,
this.
Peggy, don't do that. You'll get in trouble.
Yes, sir? Wait on you?
What's the matter, miss? Hurt your eyes?
My eyes? Of course not. Why?
But that bandage over them.
A new company rule improves efficiency.
Does, huh?
Your order, please.
Doesn't that blindfold handicap your work?
Order something and see.
Well, I'm sorry to spoil your fun, but I've really got to ask you to take that off.
And I'll have to ask you to leave that stool if you're not going to order. The management doesn't allow lounging.
Look, number 122, I am the management. I'm Mr. Stewart, the new manager. You're attracting a crowd. Now, kindly take off that blindfold and come to my office immediately.
Well, here I am, Mr. Stewart. I suppose you're pretty proud of yourself, sneaking up and catching me when I wasn't even looking.
Now, look here, number 122. My, how pretty you are without the blindfold. Hey, won't you sit down?
I don't want to sit down. Why don't you go ahead and fire me?
Oh, that's the last thing I...
As a matter of fact, you can't fire me.
No, of course not.
Because I quit.
Oh, you mustn't do that, Miss...
The name is Peggy Evans.
Well, that's a nice name.
It isn't a nice name. It isn't a name at all. It's just a label that works in a store, a machine on a track that rolls along and comes out nowhere. I hate my name.
Now, someday you'll get married and change your name.
I won't get married. I won't ever get married.
Oh, of course you will. An attractive girl like
I you... I will not.
Then you'll be Peggy Evans until you die, so you might just as well get...
Wait a minute. I'll be Peggy Evans until I die. That's an idea.
What?
I'm not going to be Peggy Evans until I die. I'm going to be Peggy Evans until she dies.
Well, you mustn't say things like that. Now, look here, Miss Evans. You just take the rest of the day off, and tomorrow we'll have a nice...
I won't be here tomorrow. Goodbye. This is the end of number 122.
You put Miss Evans.
And it's the end of Peggy Evans, too.
No, wait.
Please, let go of my...
Now, wait a minute. You can't... Please, I can't let you walk out like this. You're hysterical.
No, I'm not. And you're not Johnny, either.
Hmm?
No one is. No one will cry when Peggy Evans is gone. Take your hands off me.
No, Miss Evans, come on. Oh, good heavens, what's that poor girl going to do?
Officer, she was such a sweet girl, so nice and refined. Now, if this story gets around, I'll never be able to rent this room again.
Well, she got any relatives you know of, Miss Moucher?
No, she was a poor, lone orphan, officer. Didn't have a soul in the world.
Yeah? What do you want?
I'm looking for Peggy Evans. I was told this is her room.
Who are you? What's your name?
Robert Stewart. What's going on here, officer? Has anything happened to Miss Evans?
I'm asking the questions. What's your business with Peggy Evans?
Well, I'm Miss Evans' boss.
Uh-huh. He's the one who drove her to it.
Huh?
There ought to be a law against skunks like you, mister.
Will you please tell me what this is all about?
Show him the note, officer. Let him know what he's done.
Yeah. Here, stinker, read this note she left.
Note? Oh, my gosh, let's see.
This is to tell whoever cares not to bother looking for me. I know I'll be happier wherever I'm going. I've been fired by my boss, Mr. Stewart, and I can't go on being Peggy Evans any longer. I'd rather jump into the river. Mitzi can have my clothes. Farewell.
Oh, that's awful.
You said it, Brother Rat. Your conscience bothering you?
Now, wait a minute. You got me all wrong. I just did my duty. I told her to take off her blindfold. I had to. I'm Peggy Evans' boss. My conscience! I haven't found her yet, officer, in the river there?
No. They always drag for her, Mr. Stewart, but they never find them. Now, it's just a waste of time, that's what it is.
Do you mean it?
You see, Stewart, when a deceased gets into that current out there, they go zoom.
Ooh.
Just like they had an outboard motor attached.
Outboard motor.
It's amazing the mileage that corpses get in the river.
You don't say.
Yeah. Why, that dame's probably cruising around off Poughkeepsie by now.
Oh, stop it. How can you talk like that about... Oh, it was all my fault.
I'll never be able to sleep again. Oh, Miss Evans, why did you do it? And you had such a sweet personality.
Want a new personality, ladies and gentlemen? All right, looking now to the left of this sightseeing bus is the famous Fifth Avenue establishment, Grave's, where, for the price of an arm and a leg, they'll make you a gorgeous creature. Their famous slogan, let Grave's give you a new personality. And now looking east on Fifth
Avenue. Mr. Guide.
Yes?
Can you tell me how much they charge for one of those new personalities?
Girlie, you couldn't afford it.
Mister, I didn't ask for any advice. Let me off this bus, right here in front of Grave's.
Gee, I'll bet Grave did change my personality. Then I do look transformed. Oh, that's me being whistled at. Me, Peggy Evans. No. No, thank heavens, it's not Peggy anymore. That's finished. Now, let's see. Who shall it be? I need a new name. Diane Vanderbilt. Could be. My, how tall the buildings are.
Hey, miss, what's the idea? Stop jaywalking.
Choose a ritzy name and put an ad in classified and get a nice position. Suzanne's better, though. Suzanne Astorbilt, Criscobilt, Van Criscobilt. No.
Watch out, lady, watch out!
Well, how is she, Doc?
Just a bit scratched. She'll be all right as soon as she recovers from the shock.
Where am I?
You're in safe hands. In the office of the New York Blade, miss. You're going to be perfectly all right. Just relax.
What happened?
Why, you backed into one of my delivery trucks.
I backed in. I was on foot.
That's right, young lady. You were walking backwards, crossing the street, looking up at the tall buildings.
Well, what am I doing in a newspaper office?
What were you doing downstairs in front of this building? Why didn't you back into the New York Times?
Oh, my clothes. Look what's happened to my beautiful clothes. They're torn.
Now, don't worry about that, my dear. We'll buy you a whole new outfit. Who are you? What's your name?
Well, my name is... my name's Diane... No, it's Sue... It's Vanderbilt... No, it's not that either. I don't know yet.
Oh, surely, miss, you can tell us your name.
No, I can't. Oh, leave me alone. I don't know it.
Where do you live?
I don't know. Oh, look at me all spattered. Oh, dear.
What do you think, Doc?
This is more serious than I thought. I'm afraid she's suffering from loss of memory.
Oh, why does everything have to happen to me?
Shall I phone the police?
No, you imbecile. Think I want every other paper in town building up her case, spreading the story that I'm an assassin?
Look, my hat's ruined, too.
Mr. Durston, maybe we should notify the Missing Persons Bureau.
She's only been missing 10 minutes. Did you look in her purse?
I did. There's nothing in it.
No identification.
Huh? Not a shred.
Oh, what'll I do? What'll I do?
Now. Just look, Miss, what's your name? Just please stop worrying. We'll find out who you are. We'll put your picture in the paper. Whoever you belong to will come and claim you. Won't that be nice?
No. You don't understand. I don't belong to anybody.
Nonsense. A fine-looking girl like you.
Oh, but I tell you, it's no use. Nobody will come.
Oh, yes, they will. We'll take care of you until they do.
You will?
Why, of course we will. But we'll just ask you to remember how nice we are.
You know, Mr. Durston, you might have to take care of me for a long time.
Coast to coast, small change, Mark. Yes, this is the manager, Robert Stewart.
Oh, Union Headquarters, huh? What's the idea of this strike here at my store? I say, what's this blindfolded strike? All the employees are standing blindfolded. The customers are stealing all the merchandise. I know it's in sympathy with Peggy Evans' memory, but... yes, I know it's to protest my driving her to suicide, but I did no such thing. At least I didn't intend to. Oh, my gosh, come and make those employees take off their blindfolds. The customers are walking off at the store. I'll be fired.
You're fired.
Yes, Mr. Snodgrass.
Shame on you, Stewart.
In 48 hours, you've driven one of our girls to suicide. You've incited a new kind of strike. You've let the place be looted. You've blackened the store's good name.
What are you staring at?
That New York newspaper on your desk. That girl's picture on the front page with the caption, "Who am I?"
Let me see.
Say, this looks like her.
Like who?
Peggy Evans.
Oh, nonsense. Wishful thinking. This is the picture of some Park Avenue blue blood.
But I could swear that's her. I'll never forget her face. I tell you, this is Peggy.
Don't be irrational, Stuart. How could it be?
This is how it explains it right here. She's got amnesia.
I fail to see the connection.
Suppose she did jump in the river, and suppose the shock made her lose her memory.
You are grasping at straws.
And suppose she forgot she was going to commit suicide. And suppose she swam out and forgot who she was. And suppose she just wandered down to New York.
And suppose you collect your things and get out of this office.
She isn't dead. I'm going to find her and bring her back here and prove to all of you that I didn't drive her to suicide. And what's more, I'll make her tell the truth and get me back my job.
If you can bring back the dead, Stuart, you can certainly get your job back.
I'll hold you to that, Mr. Snodgrass.
Come in. Why, hello, Mr. Durston.
Good morning, good morning. Just thought I'd drop in on my way to the office to see how your memory is getting along.
Oh, it's fine, thank you. I remember you perfectly.
Ah, oh. Well, I see you're dining on steak.
I've absolutely no complaints.
Well, we must jog that memory of yours. The incredible thing about your case is that you weren't carrying a single bit of identification. And another thing, how do we know you haven't been like this for years, maybe ever since childhood?
I don't remember having amnesia before yesterday.
How could you remember losing your memory? Now, I'm going to run another story today. We'll suggest the possibility that you're an old case, like maybe Judge Crater.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't go to all this trouble, Mr. Durston.
Well, what do you want to do, spend the rest of your life in this hotel suite?
Oh, no, of course not.
You know, in a way, I really envy you.
Envy me? Whatever for?
Well, think of all the exciting possibilities ahead of you. Why, you might be almost anyone in the world. Even a missing heiress, say.
An heiress?
Well, why not? Been quite a few heiresses among the missing cases in the last 20 years. Yes, you might be any one of them. I think I'll run a feature about that. Well, I've got to be going. Think about it. Strain hard. Work on it.
Yes. Yes, I certainly will. You know, Mr. Durston, in my bones, I feel strangely I am some missing heiress.
In just a moment, you'll hear more of MGM's hilarious comedy, Slightly Dangerous. Now for Act Two of the MGM Theater of the Air, starring Celeste Holm. And so Peggy Evans, perhaps getting the idea from the movies, pretends to have amnesia. That is, she forgets her past. Most of us could do with a little amnesia. And Peggy gets rather fond of her case, particularly when Mr. Durston, the newspaper publisher, suggests she might even be a missing heiress. Feeling a little research is in order, Peggy goes to the public library and looks up old newspaper files to see if there are any heiresses who have been missing for about 20 years. And if there are, which one she'd most like to be.
Now, let's see. Here's a 1930 headline. This could be it. Let's see. Carol Burden, millionaire baby, missing. Oh, let's see now. Nurse took her to the circus. Three ring, yes, and see, Baba, yes, I must remember these details. Well, why couldn't it have been me? Sure. Peggy Evans, meet your alter ego, Carol Burden, the baby millionaire.
Well, right on time, Miss X. There are about 200 husbands, mothers, and just plain crackpots in my outer office, all waiting to claim you from that picture I ran.
Oh, Mr. Durston, before I see anybody, I've got to tell you something.
Yes?
I've remembered something.
Oh, you have?
Ba, ba.
Huh? What's that?
Ba, ba. That's it. What I remember. Just ba, ba.
Ba, ba. What in blazes is good at remembering ba, ba?
Well,
that doesn't mean a thing.
It must mean something. I've got a feeling that it's terribly important. Something else just struck me in connection.
Yes, yes.
Something else besides ba, ba.
Something else? Yes, yes, yes.
I see a circus.
Holy Ike. Ba, ba, a circus. Still, this just might lead to something. Who knows? Miss Kingsway?
Yes, Mr. Durston.
Get Hiller. Ask him what he has in his files on ba, ba.
Come again, boss. Ba, ba.
Ba, ba. That's right. B-A, B-A. Now make it snappy and call me right back. Yes?
About ba, ba, boss.
Oh, yes, Kingsway. What did you find?
I got three ba, bas. Turkish mind reader who cut up his assistant with an axe.
Out. What else?
Ba, ba, the gorilla. Africa to the Bronx Zoo.
What's the third?
Well, there was a nurse called Ba, ba in the burden case.
In the burden case? That's right. It clicks now. Why, yes, the nurse took the burden kid to the circus and lost her. They never did...
Check, boss.
Bring in that file.
Yes, sir.
I huddle it. Well, 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 my dear. It was a mighty lucky thing you remembered. Ba, ba.
Is it important?
Important? Baldwin, tell them to hold the front page for replay. We've got a real story.
Missing burden heiress, amnesia victim, thought to be daughter of Soap King. Read all about it, X.
Here, boy, give me a paper.
Okay, mister.
Let's see that girl's picture. Heiress, my eye, that's her. So I didn't drive her to suicide. That's Peggy Evans, my own former soda jerk. My name isn't Bob Stewart. Miss, please, I...
Just a moment, you. Back outside in the waiting room.
Yeah, but I've been waiting to see the publisher for hours about that girl.
Officer Daly.
Mercy, where is that? Oh, here you are, wise guy.
Let go my neck.
I seen you trying to sneak in. Now get back out of there before I bring
you. But, officer, I know that girl.
Oh, yeah. I suppose she's your long-lost mother.
No, my soda jerk. Before I got fired, that isn't it? Turns out I didn't kill
her. Come on, squirrel food. Move before I...
Ow!
What's the noise out there, Miss Kingsway?
Oh, just another screwball loose in the world, Mr. Durston.
No. What time did Burton's secretary say that he'd be here?
Any minute now, sir.
Oh, frankly, Kingsway, I'm as excited as a little boy. Reunited after 17 years. The rich but lonely old man and the wandering waif with the golden curls. Let me know the minute he comes in.
Mr. Burden's here now, Mr. Durston.
Good, good, good. Send him in at once. Has Hiller got the camera already?
Yes, boss.
I'm a little nervous, Mr. Durston.
Well, naturally, dear Miss Burden, naturally. Not having seen your father for so long.
This is a sacred moment. Wonder what he'll say when he sees her, boss.
Say? Oh, why, he'll look at her. He'll hold her in his arms, and his voice will break as the tears stream down. He'll say, I...
Where's that muck-raking buzzard, Durston?
Hello, Mr. Burton.
Listen, you, I broke Burnell of Amalgamated Copper. I turned Boron of SL&B into a shaking old man. And by all that's holy, Durston, I'll break you like a dry twig.
Break me, but why?
For being a part of a criminal conspiracy to defraud. And I see that you're indicted for it.
Well, all I've done is try to help you recover your daughter.
All you've done is to print a story without verification, without proof, without...
But I have got proof. This girl's got amnesia. The only thing she remembers is ba-ba.
Ba-ba.
What kind of proof is that? There must be 40,000 nurses in this country named Ba-ba.
Well, she remembered the circus, too. What about that?
Circus?
My child was the only one in the world who ever saw a circus. What rot! If you had the decency to consult me, sir, I'd have informed you that I have a method of identifying my daughter.
You have?
Certainly. My child's nurse, Baba, still lives with me. She's interviewed hundreds of phony girls in the last 15 years, and she's exposed every one of them.
Oh.
She'll expose this one, too, and when she does, I'll put you both behind bars.
Oh, now.
All right, girl, come along. Let's get started.
Wait. He's not my father.
Aha! She's going to confess.
But Miss Burden...
Don't call me Miss Burden.
But you don't remember anything. Remember?
That's right.
But then what makes you say he's not your father?
His nose.
What about my nose?
Well, if I'd ever seen a nose like that before, I know I'd have remembered it.
What?
Well, it's the kind of a nose you couldn't forget. Especially if you'd been exposed to it as a child.
Oh, now, my dear, let's just not hurt his feelings.
Well, I don't mind if I do hurt his feelings. He didn't care what he said about me.
Stop acting, girl. Are you coming home with me?
Absolutely not.
Then, in my opinion, that constitutes an admission of guilt, and I'll prosecute you both.
No, just a minute. Now, look, my dear, you can't do this to me.
No?
Unless you cooperate, Mr. Burden will have every right to think that you're concealing some guilty plan.
In which you share.
In which I do not. Now, young lady, don't you understand? Look, you've got to go with him.
Well?
All right. I'll go.
Yes, Miss Kingsway?
Boss, that same screwball keeps busting in here yelling for some Peggy. Shall I have him arrested the next time?
Baba, she's here. I brought her with me. She's in the playroom. Let's get it over with.
Plenty of time. No need to get into a tizzy about it. Come here. Let me measure this sweater I'm knitting you.
Oh.
Hold still, Master Cornelius.
Oh, for heaven's sake. This is no time.
Well, you're getting fatter.
I am not.
You are, too. I'll have to add some more stitches.
All right. You can do that any time.
No, you need a sweater.
I don't.
You're always catching colds, even when you were a little boy. Used to worry me half to death, sneezing and sniffling and...
Will you please forget about me and concentrate on her?
No need shouting, Master Cornelius. I'm not deaf yet. What's this amnesia victim like?
Well, she's prettier than the others, but that only makes her more of a problem.
Falderall, I'll show her up. Come on.
Well, this is Baba.
How do you do?
Remember this playroom?
I don't remember a thing.
You'll note it's still filled with toys. Carol Burden had a toy in this room she loved more than any other. Always carried it around with her. All day long, even slept with it at night. Which one was it?
I don't know. Didn't he tell you I got amnesia?
Amnesia or no amnesia, if you don't get the right toy, I'm going to hammer away at you until I find out who you really are.
But that's unreasonable.
You bet it is.
Hold your tongue, Master Cornelius. Look around you. Take your time, child.
Oh, well, this is the end, all right. What chance have I got of picking out the right toy? Well, the odds are about 100 to 1. Guess I might as well confess and get it over with.
Well, young lady, you can't pick it, can you? You're an imposter, admit it.
Cornelius, give him more time.
He's too anxious. If I confess, I'll go to jail. Oh, I wish I were back in Hotchkiss Falls.
Well.
Think, Peggy, think. What was it Baba said? She even slept with that toy at night. Well, if she slept with it, then it couldn't be that engine or that tin soldier or that music box. They wouldn't let her take those to bed with her. She'd scratch herself. And it couldn't be that merry-go-round either. It would get all broken, or the Easter egg. Or that doll's house, they'd break, too.
Well, young lady, it seems to me that you've had more than enough time.
Oh, please. Just one more minute. I seem to remember something.
Yeah.
And all the rest of the toys are too large or too sharp or too clumsy to take to bed with her. Except these two on this shelf. The little teddy bear and the little doll.
Baba.
Oh, I can't choose. Oh, golly, it's got to be one. But which? Well, I've got to take a chance. 50-50 chance is as good as any gambler could ask. I've just got to gamble.
Well? The doll.
Oh, Carol, my baby, my
Carol,
baby.
Come to your father's arms. Oh, how can you ever forgive me?
Oh, what is it, darling? Tell Baba.
What's wrong, Carol?
Nothing. It's so frightening. Suddenly
have a father you don't even know.
Oh, my dear, I've always been afraid that if I did find you, you'd be hopelessly changed, grown up. You wouldn't need me or want me. Anything you did, you did remember, you'd be my enemy. But without your memory, you're a child. You need me. I've done more than just find the girl you used to be, Carol. I've really found my child again.
And so, this commentator takes off his hat to the greatest human interest story of the century. Wealthy Cornelius Burton has found his long-lost daughter, Carol, at last. Identified her how, ladies and gentlemen? By a toy. Imagine Carol picking out a toy 17 years later. That's quite a memory. Quite a...
Oh, yeah? Well, I've got quite a memory, too. She drowned for me, and I mean, she jerked sodas for me, and Carol Burton, my eye. It's got to be Peggy. I want my job back. I've got to get up close to her and know for sure. I've just got to.
You back again?
Well, this is the Burden residence, isn't it?
Indeed it is.
Well, listen, Jeeves, I'm getting in this time.
I doubt that very much, sir.
Now, let me in here. I demand to see Carol Burden immediately.
This is getting monotonous.
Now, let me in, I tell you. She's not going to get away with this. She's not Carol Burden any more than I am. She's just...
Out you go.
Oh!
And stay out.
Oh, Hawkins, that man at the door
just now... another reporter, madam. He didn't fool me one bit.
Well, how did he get past the gatekeeper? I thought I left very strict
Carol,
orders.
Darling, you look pale. Now, it was just another fresh reporter, nothing to get upset about.
But, what if he should try to come back?
Don't worry, he won't. And you mustn't be frightened. I'll see to it that no more reporters get in here again to annoy you. Now, get dressed for the ballet, my dear. Tonight, I'm going to introduce my daughter to society.
Duchess thought you were an angel, my dear.
Really? Oh, golly. I'm so excited and I'm so happy.
For the first time in 17 years, I am too,
little Carol.
That was sweet of the Duchess.
Someday she's going to lean over here from her box and I'm going to thump her right on the tiara, the dreary old hyena.
You do love to pretend you have a temper, don't you?
I knew you were going to say that.
How?
I don't know, but it's true. Your mother and I used to sit in these very seats. We'd never say a word. Yet each of us used to know what the other was thinking. I suppose the music affected us both the same way. Even made us think the same thoughts. I wonder if you're that sympathetic.
I feel very sympathetic.
Fine. Then listen to the music, and I'll tell you what you're thinking.
Gee, look at me. Peggy Evans at the ballet. Carol Burden, I mean. Because she's me now, no matter what happens. Gosh, Mitzi could only see me now. Wanting to stay in Hotchkiss Falls for the rest of my life. To wait for a guy called Johnny. I wish Mr. Burton hadn't turned out so nice. That's what makes me feel so... Oh, don't be hypocritical. I feel wonderful. Well, what harm am I doing? He's happy and I'm happy. So stop feeling guilty. I feel lonesome, though. Maybe it's the music. I sure wish I had a dog.
Carol, would you like me to buy you a little dog?
Jeepers, how did you happen to ask me that?
Why, is that what you were thinking?
Well, yes, sort of.
I told you we could do it. You're your mother's daughter, all right. Carol.
Hmm?
Here, take these glasses. Look up there. That man hanging from the balcony by his fingernails. Isn't he the one our butler threw out of the house today?
Scotch, bartender. Straight.
Right, sir.
They tell me the ballet crowd usually attends this bar at intermission. Huh?
That's right, sir. This is the ballet bar. Mm. They'll be coming along soon. I saw the first part of the ballet myself. Hey... Hey, you're the fellow almost fell from the balcony, aren't you?
Yeah.
Boy, you could have crushed some people downstairs, huh?
How'd it happen?
Oh, I saw a certain face in the box below and lost my balance in it.
Oh, there she is. She just came in the door.
Well, Burden and his daughter Carol? She's a real looker, huh? Yeah, I hear she has amnesia.
Can't be Carol Burden. Yeah, now that I look at her. Oh, gosh.
But it is her.
Don't say that. How would you feel if you discovered that a girl you thought you hadn't drowned turned out to be drowned after all?
Huh?
Don't believe it. She can't fool me with her blonde hair and then everything. I'll just prove it isn't.
Isn't what?
Shh, here they come. Now look, watch what I do. When she passes by me, I'm going to shout something in her ear from behind. Take her unawares. See how she reacts.
But I don't...
One banana split.
Coming up.
What's that, Carol?
I didn't kill her. I didn't kill her after all.
The man's mad.
Oh, Peggy. Peggy, hello. This is me, remember?
My dear, do you know this eccentric fellow?
I haven't the vaguest idea who he is.
Oh, Peggy, you're lying. You know you are.
All right, Hawkins, let him have it.
Any time, Mr. Burden.
Thanks, Hawkins. I'm glad I had the good sense to bring you along as a bodyguard for Carol.
Want this fellow arrested, Mr. Burden?
Oh, no, Father. Let's not make any more of a scene. Hawkins, you didn't have to hit him so hard.
We'll return to MGM's comedy Slightly Dangerous in just a moment. Of the MGM Theater of the Air, starring Celeste Holm. The very, very rich Mr. Burden is giving a party on his very, very large estate. The party is for a dazzling little job who Mr. Burden and the upper crust have decided is the long-lost daughter. LLD is the amnesia victim known as Carol, who is really Peggy Evans. The deception is getting by beautifully. No one is in on it. Well, not exactly no one, for there is that doubtful-looking extra waiter wearing what must be a false mustache. His peculiar behavior is accentuated when he suddenly seizes our heroine and whirls her off in a dance.
You!
You know me even with my false mustache.
What do you think you're doing?
Dancing with you.
Are you mad? How did you get in here?
It's an extra waiter.
Let go of me. Get out of here. People are staring.
You do remember me, don't you?
No! Take this man away. He's crazy.
Hey, what's going on here, Carol?
It's that madman again, Father.
Throw this lunatic out. Throw him in prison.
Just a moment. I'm not leaving this house without my wife.
His wife? Your wife?
Yes, Mr. Burton. My wife.
You must be crazy. You know as well as I do that I'm not your...
What were you going to say, Carol? Do you remember?
Well, of course not, sir. How can an amnesia victim remember anything?
Father, that's the hideous part of it. For all I know, it may be true.
Well, of course it's true. And now, Mr. Burton, if you'll pardon us, I intend to take her home.
Wait, just a moment, young man. Come with me, sir, to my study. And you too, Carol. Let's discuss this in private.
Then when I got home, Mr. Burden, she disappeared. Of course, I was desperate until I saw a picture in the paper, and I left Hotchkiss Falls right away. But when I called the claimer, she'd already left with you. Since then, you know how I've tried to reach her, and if it hadn't been for the publicity, I'd have gone right to the police. Oh, that's the whole story. And now, dear, if you'll get your things, we'll be trotting along. Thanks for taking such good care of her, Mr. Burden.
Never mind that young man. Man, take your hands off my daughter.
But she's my wife.
I know she's your wife. Well, if you don't mind, we just won't take your word for that. We'd like a little proof.
Proof?
Yes, proof. That's right. Let's see some if you have any.
Oh, proof. In my pocket. Here, I'll show you. Here, look at this. Our marriage certificate.
Well,
how do we know this is genuine?
It isn't. It's a fake. A forgery.
Now, dear, you didn't think so at the time.
Why, you were so proud of it, you used to take it to bed with us.
Why, I did not. Well, I mean, I don't believe it.
Oh, it's sad, isn't it, sir? All her beautiful memories gone. Well, I have some more proof in my pocket. This snapshot here of her in a simple small-town dress. Look at it. I challenge you to say it isn't her.
Oh,
this is ghastly. It is a picture of her. It doesn't seem fair. I've only had one daughter, and now I've lost her twice.
I'm sorry, Mr. Burden, but it had to come out sooner or later that Peggy wasn't your daughter.
Of course she's my daughter. This proves she married you, but it doesn't prove she's not my daughter.
But she's Peggy Evans.
This girl's my daughter, whatever her name is. I couldn't be mistaken about that. Who was she before she was Peggy Evans? That's the question.
I don't know.
You mean to say that you don't know anything about your wife's background?
No. You see, she had amnesia when I met her. It reoccurred. She kept having it off and on.
Mr. Stewart, what's the name of this town where you met Carol?
Hotchkiss Falls. And that's where we're going now. Come, lamb chop.
Leave me alone.
I'm going with you.
What for?
Carol.
Why?
Don't you realize what all this means? At last, I've got a clue to your past. We can go back to Hotchkiss Falls and trace everything that's happened since the day I lost
you. Oh, no. Bob,
hmm?
I want to speak to my father alone. Wait outside for me, please.
All right, but do hurry, dear. We've got a long ride ahead of us.
Father, that man is not my husband. Call it a woman's intuition if you want to, but somehow I know.
But the marriage license, the picture. Why would a man make up such a...
I think I'll call the police.
No, let's not do that. I have a better plan. I'll go to Hotchkiss Falls with Mr. Stewart, but you mustn't come along, just the two of us. Then I can find out what all this is about.
Do you think I'm insane? Let you go away with a man who's not your husband?
Oh, but don't you see? If I'm alone with him, I can find out everything. I can trap him because he won't be suspecting anything after I'm with him. But with you along, he'd be on his guard.
Carol, if I would let you go and something happened to you, I'd...
Oh, nothing will happen, I promise you.
Well, then, baby.
Oh, thank you, Father. I knew you'd understand. And Father...
Yes, dear.
I love you to beat the band. Please don't hate me, Bob. I didn't mean to be a runaway wife.
Huh?
How soon will we get to Hotchkiss Falls?
Oh, it won't be long.
Oh, I'll try to make up for all the trouble I've caused you. And I'm sure I'll learn to love you again soon, Bob.
Hey, cut that out. You'll get us killed.
Baba.
Yes, Cornelius.
Get on the phone, please. Call long distance. I want Hotchkiss Falls information.
But that's impossible. Now look here. Are you sure? Sure. That's the same girl that I've described to you.
Quite sure, Mr. Burden. Fits her description to a T. Look, now all you've got to do is to pick up a Hotchkiss Falls Times. Any of the dates I mention... with her picture on the front page, under caption, strange disappearance. And you'll convince yourself the girl you describe is Peggy Evans.
Yeah. And you say this, Peggy Evans is an orphan? And you know who her father and mother were?
Yes, Mr. Burden. They were local residents here. Why?
You're sure as to that. You actually knew her parents. Your statement is one of personal knowledge.
Well, no, not personal knowledge, but my reporters verified all that through our local orphanage. Now, look, check with the orphanage. If you have any doubt, Mr. Burden, why question my facts? As editor of the Hotchkiss Falls Times, I...
Never mind that. Tell me more about the disappearance of this, is it Peggy?
Well, now, look, it's like I told you. She was unhappy being an orphan and poor. Thought fate had played a dirty trick on her. Hated her job, hated Hotchkiss Falls. We got that from a girl she worked with here. Her best friend.
Yes. Well, go on.
Well, she used to tell this girl that she was an orphan anyhow, so what's to stop her from looking around for a millionaire father?
What?
One who's lost a daughter. Look, I tell you this, sir, just to show you how unhappy she was and why we've always believed that she committed suicide. Because, you see... when her boss, Bob Stewart, fired her, well, that was the last straw.
Wait a minute. Who did you say her boss was? That name again?
Bob Stewart. Why?
Where is this Bob Stewart?
Well, I hear he went to New York. Whole town turned against him for driving her to suicide, you see.
I see. Yes, I see.
Mr. Burton, can you tell me now why you're asking all these questions if, as you say, you haven't met a girl answering to Peggy Evans' description? I mean, on the one hand, you ask all these questions, and on the other...
On the other, my good man, if you print one word of this talk with me, I'll handle you. I broke Burnell of Amalgamated Copper. I turned Bullron of SL&V into a shaking old man. And by all that's holy, I'll break you into a dry twig if you do this.
Mrs. Robert Stewart. It's a beautiful name.
Will you kindly come off that trapeze and tell me exactly what you're trying to pull?
You sound as if you don't even like me.
I don't like you.
Well, if that's the way you feel, why don't we get divorced?
Oh, I get it. You're trying to make that amnesia gag stick. Well, you just have your little fun. I feel fine now that I've got you where I want you.
Where do you want me?
In Hotchkiss Falls, so they can see that you're not drowned.
Drowned?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't remember being drowned. I mean, why should I be drowned?
On account of that phony suicide note you left. Everybody in the thought that I drove you to it.
Oh, my. That must have been awkward.
Oh, no, not at all. It's a pleasure not being able to sleep night after night, tortured into thinking myself a murderer.
I did all that to you.
That's only half of it. Lost me my job.
Oh, dear. So you're taking me back to Hotchkiss Falls just to get your job back?
Just for that. Selfish of me, isn't it? Making you a girl without a future.
What do you mean?
I mean you pull the wool over Papa Burden's eyes about as far as it'll go. Maybe just a bit suspicious of his baby girl from now on.
And you're responsible, aren't you? I wish there was an axe handy. I'd do something nice for you.
Well, let's finish our coffee and get back to the car. Still an hour to Hotchkiss Falls. I'm sorry it was so fresh before.
Oh, that's all right, Bob. It was my fault, really. I lost my temper. It was just that, well, it's all so embarrassing. Suppose you didn't remember me at all and suddenly found you were married to me. Wouldn't you be scared?
Say, Peggy, you're not really on the level about this, are you?
What do you mean? Of course. Tell me about us, Bob. Mm-hmm. Were we very happy?
Well, I think we must have been.
Well, what kind of happy?
Hmm?
A bored happy, or were we on fire?
Huh?
Did we dance well together?
Yeah.
For one nickel, let's see.
Yeah.
Show me, Bob.
All right.
You're right, Bob. We do dance well together.
Yeah, we were on fire. I remember now, holding you in my arms like this. Why?
Yes, Bob?
Oh, we did get a strange feeling. I mean, with this tune and all. Oh, on this part, we'd hold each other close like this and...
Oh, this part's awfully nice.
Yeah. Can you imagine now what our past was like?
Maybe if you try me again.
Yeah.
Oh, my. What a past we must have had.
Yeah.
Tell me more, Bob. What was it like with us? Were you a jealous husband?
Jealous? Oh, zounds, yes. Murderously so, yeah.
Oh, I'm glad. That's the way I want it to have been. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been the real thing, would it?
No, definitely not.
I know I must have scratched her eyes out more than once.
Whose?
Well, whoever it was who tried to wreck our happy home. The home wrecker.
Hmm?
You know her. I mean, you must know who. How do you expect me to? I still can't remember things.
Oh, well, we never quarrel about things like that. I mean, there was no... that is, I wasn't that kind of a husband.
Well, you'd better not have been. I feel loads better now. But I do believe a wife should always keep her nails sharp just in case.
Hmm. You always help me with your lips.
Oh, if only I had my memory. Bob, was I a good wife to you?
Ideal.
What is your ideal? You know, I forget that, too. Tell me, please.
Well, first, my ideal has to be crazy.
Crazy?
Sure. Would it be normal for her to love me on my salary?
Tell me more.
Well, she has to be happy with what we've got instead of discontented with what we haven't got.
Oh!
And, of course, she has to be smart enough to make me think I'm getting my way all the time.
And what do you do in return for all that?
Nothing. That's what makes it so ideal. What are you laughing at?
Oh, nothing, nothing. Look at me, I'm laughing at nothing.
Well, you're not getting dizzy, are you?
Johnny.
Bob.
Johnny.
But I'm not Johnny.
Oh, Johnny, Johnny, Johnny.
Yeah, but I tell you... What is this? You're on the level. You don't know me. Oh, my gosh, then I kidnapped Carol Burton. I'm going to call your father right now and tell him to come and get you. Now, come on.
Now, let me alone.
Come on.
What's the idea of bringing me to this motel?
Because this is where I phoned your father we'd be. Oh. Don't you want to go back to your father? What are you crying about?
I'm crying because I'm never going to see you again.
Want to see me again? Why?
Because I'm crazy about you.
Oh, well, that's impossible.
And because I am Peggy Evans.
Yeah?
I can't go on cheating anymore.
Well, gosh, then I...
Well, I didn't mean to make you lose your job. How could I know about that? And I didn't mean to steal anything from Mr. Burton. Honestly, I'm not a cheat or a crook. I was just lonesome.
Oh, there now, of course, dear. Oh.
I just didn't have the sense to wait until you came along. How could I know you? You were what I was lonesome for.
Oh, Carol, Peggy, whatever your name is, darling.
Yes, Bob.
I love you.
Then you'll wait for me, won't you?
Well, where are you going?
To jail.
Oh, that's silly.
Oh, you don't know Mr. Burton. He's sweet, but he's got a terrible temper, and when I tell him the truth...
Tell him the truth? Oh, you must. You will go to jail.
I've got to pay for what I've done.
Now, that's the most selfish attitude I ever heard. Why, you'd shatter him. You can't be that cruel. No, I won't let you see him. I'll keep him out.
Keep who out?
Oh, Mr. Burton.
Carol, dear, are you all right? Young man, explain your conduct or I'll shatter you.
All right, Mr. Burton. I'll explain what happened.
You phoned me and confessed you're not Carol's husband, that you had forged that marriage certificate you showed me.
Yes, sir.
Why did you do it?
Well, I thought she was somebody else. Peggy Evans, a girl I used to know, but she's dead.
Don't listen to him. He's just saying that because he loves me. He's trying to protect you.
Shut up! I mean, shut up, dear.
Well, it's no use, Bob. You can't stop me.
Go on, child.
Well, I can't even believe myself that I could have been as contemptible as I have, but I know you won't forgive me, but I do love you. You're an angel, and I'd give anything in the world if you were my father, but you're not. I'm not Carol. I never was. I'm Peggy Evans, and I'm going back to Hotchkiss Falls.
Nonsense, dear. I ought to know my own daughter. You're coming home with me.
But I tell you, I'm a cheater.
Stop that, Carol Burton.
Oh, Mama!
Child, you ought to have your mouth washed out with soap. And now's as good a time as any. Come on, march. I want to speak to you alone. Now, stop that sniveling, Peggy Evans.
Peggy Evans, then you do believe me, Papa.
Of course I do.
Well, then you'll tell Father. I mean, Mr. Burton.
I'll tell your father nothing. Besides, he knows it anyway.
But he's not my father. You just said you believed that. What do you mean he knows it anyway?
He checked with the orphanage in Hotchkiss Falls and with the newspaper accounts there of your strange disappearance and the way young Stuart was blamed for it.
Well, then why didn't he say so just now?
Two reasons. It'd kill him to admit he'd been fooled. Doesn't even know I listened in on those calls. And it'd kill him to give you up.
You mean he wants me to go on being his daughter?
If you had a lick of sense, you'd see that. You'd know that what he said out there was just his way of forgiving you. Oh, someday he'll come right out with it, but don't try to force it. He can be awfully stubborn sometimes.
But how can he want me? I don't belong
to... Stuff and nonsense. You've made him happier than he's been in 17 years. That's belonging.
Oh, if I could just believe.
You can. Now, get out there and show what you've got in you.
Do you hate me, Baba?
I couldn't hate anybody Master Cornelius loves. Now, get.
Well, child.
Do you still want me to go home with you?
Of course I do, if you want to come. Do you?
I'd just like to see anybody try to stop me.
Oh, what about me?
Yes. What about Bob Carroll?
I love him.
That's a fine. How do you do?
But I can't help it.
Well, I've got a daughter. I might as well settle myself with a son-in-law, too. Just one big, happy family.
Cornelius, as long as you're going to start building a family at your age, you'd better get going.
Yes, Baba, coming.
Now, now, hurry, children. I'll wait for you in the car.
Oh, Johnny.
The name is Bob Carroll.
The name is Peggy, Johnny. Maybe we just better call each other Butch.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe talking at all is just a waste of time.
Our star, Celeste Holm, will be back in just a moment. I'm supposed to have a few words with you now for the benefit of our listening audience.
Oh, is this a benefit?
In a sense, yes. After your great success on the stage and in Hollywood, radio is benefiting by your appearance.
Well, thank you, Mr. Dietz, but I bet you tell that to all the girls. At least all the girls who appear on this show.
Well, some of the best girls do appear here, and so the compliments come easy.
Well, go on complimenting. I like it.
We all remember you in Oklahoma and Bloom a Girl, and then you went to Hollywood, but not to MGM.
Well, that was a break for MGM.
Not at all. You won an Academy Award for your performance in Gentleman's Agreement. You played a tellingly realistic role in The Snake Pit and Come to the Stable. You're a star with a past, present, and future.
It's the future that counts.
Well, we predict a good one, and we don't need a crystal ball.
Thank you, Howard.
And thank you, Celeste Holm.
You have been listening to Slightly Dangerous, starring Celeste Holm, adapted for radio by Joe Rusco. Original music composed and conducted by Joel Herron. The program was directed by Marx B. Loeb and produced by Raymond Katz. The supporting cast included Carl Eastman and Edgar Staley. Ed Stokes speaking.